99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock in New York City. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will return next week at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And stay tuned for a special program this morning. There will be no back of the book, but we have this special for you. Enjoy. Got to build our love on one foundation.
You are listening to Radio Free Nashville, 107.1 and 103.7 FM LP, and streaming live at RadioFreeNashville.org. Welcome to the Veterans for Peace Radio Hour and our special 4th of July.
And then stop it and say, wait a minute.
I like it.
What could be more out of place this July 4th than triumphal marching music, flag waving, chest thumping, and fireworks as we witness our nation failing utterly to bestow the inalienable rights of all men to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The grotesque class inequality and the scourge of racist policies in the U.S. have been laid bare during the COVID-19 pandemic with no end in sight, that has claimed the lives of mostly low-income and minority people.
Right.
And also a lot of nursing home residents.
Yeah.
Most of them are in the low-income nursing homes.
Exactly.
So the resulting economic collapse, which is certainly coming and is well along the way, has left tens of millions unemployed and facing hunger, homelessness, and a lack of health care to boot. Again, sparing the wealthy and powerful as usual. An intrepid black teenage girl's cell phone video of the gruesome, cold-blooded police murder of George Floyd was just the spark needed to ignite the pent-up rage felt across this country. On this show, we will try to place Independence Day in context with our shameful history of slavery in all its many forms and how the current nationwide uprising led by Black Lives Matter harkens back to 1776.
But first, real quickly, my name is Jim Wohlgemuth and I'm here via Zoom with Tom Gross and Harvey Bennett. We're members of Veterans of Peace, which is an international organization of military veterans and allies, whose collective efforts are to build a culture of peace by using our experiences and lifting our voices for the causes of peace, humanity, equality, and justice. Our network is comprised of over 140 chapters worldwide. Our radio show is on stations across the country. We are now meeting through Zoom, and if you'd like to join us, all you have to do is go to our Facebook page, the Veterans for Peace Chapter 089, and let us know, and we will send you a link. You can also follow us on Twitter at VFP Radio Nashville or at VFP 89 Radio. And you can find all of our shows for 5 years worth by just going to bit.ly/, now these are capital letters, VFP, and then regular letters, Radio Hour. So it's bit.ly/VFP Radio Hour. Also, if you're a station and you find this show a little bit interesting and you would like to have us regularly on your agenda, send me a text, 703-403-6135. You can do that for questions or suggestions about another show. And so get in touch with us, 703-403-6135. All right, promotion. So the Veterans for Peace Radio Hour and Radio Free Nashville are supported in part by the Green Party of Tennessee, bringing some common sense into the bipolar world of American politics. GreenPartyOfTennessee.org. Happenings. We're still marching. We're still rallying. So make a sign, grab a mask, and go make a difference. Now,
the recent interest in, even awareness of, Juneteenth, ironically instigated by President Trump's clueless or contrived scheduling of his Tulsa rally on that anniversary, provides a window into the yawning gulf between how propertied white males staked their lofty claim to independence in 1776 and how enslaved black people were treated as passive recipients of the compassionate act of magnanimous white emancipator in 1863. Of course, the Texas planter class never told their enslaved about this, so they could continue to be enriched by their unpaid labor until a Union Army general spilled the beans in Galveston 2.5 years later, on June 19, 1865. Well, those who signed the Declaration of Independence back in 1776 considered life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in that order as the inalienable rights of all mankind. They clearly had their priorities all wrong, according to our current president and his loyal followers. The coronavirus pandemic response of Trump and his allies in Congress and many state houses seem to believe pursuit of happiness / liberty must come first. They seem to equate the two, as liberty is freedom to pursue happiness or to do whatever you feel like or not doing. Or and only then, life, if you're lucky enough to survive.
Exactly.
The Black Lives Matter movement gets it. They didn't call themselves the Black Liberty Movement or the Black Pursuit of Happiness Movement, even though those are their inalienable rights as well. They understood that for them, this was a time of action as a matter of life and death.
Of survival.
Yeah. So that's what I've got so far. We could have the audio clip of James Earl Jones reading the Frederick Douglass address on what Independence Day means to a black man, or whatever, you know, which is pretty good. Did you listen to it?
Oh, yeah.
They're familiar with it anyway.
I've heard that before. It's wonderful.
It's very good. And anyway, much of what he says in there is mirrored in the uprising. That's what it is, part of what it takes if you want to be free.
Here's Amy Goodman's introduction.
This is the actor James Earl Jones reading the historic address during a performance of Howard Zinn's Voices of a People's History of the United States. This is the late, great people's historian, Howard Zinn.
Frederick Douglass, once a slave, became a brilliant and powerful leader of the anti-slavery movement. In 1852, he was asked to speak in celebration of the 4th of July.
Fellow citizens, pardon me and allow me to ask, why am I called upon to speak here today? What have I, or those I represent, to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and of natural justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us? And am I, therefore, called upon to bring our humble offering to the national altar and to confess the benefits and express devout gratitude for the blessings resulting from your independence to us? I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice, I must mourn. To drag a man in fetters into the grand illuminated temple of liberty and call upon him to join you in joyous anthems were inhuman mockery and sacrilegious irony. Do you mean, citizens, to mock me by asking me to speak today? What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days of the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is a constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham. Your boasted liberty, an unholy license. Your national greatness, swelling vanity. Your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless. Your denunciation of tyrants, brass-fronted impudence. Your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery. Your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings, with all your religious parade and solemnity, are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy, a thin veil to cover up crimes that would disgrace a nation of savages. There's not a nation of the earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of these United States at this very hour. At a time like this, scorching irony, not convincing argument, is needed. Oh, had I the ability and could reach the nation's ear, I would today pour forth a stream, a fiery stream of biting ridicule, blasting reproach, withering sarcasm, and stern rebuke. For it is not light that is needed, but fire. It is not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, the earthquake. The feeling of the nation must be quickened. The conscience of the nation must be roused. The propriety of the nation must be startled. The hypocrisy of the nation must be exposed, and the crimes against God and man must be proclaimed and denounced.
So there was James Earl Jones reading a speech by Frederick Douglass that was given in 1852. Such a powerful speech and unfortunately still so relevant almost 170 years later. So let's get back to our discussion of Juneteenth and 4th of July. And Juneteenth has been celebrated in the black community for a century.
Yeah, mostly in Texas.
Mostly in Texas. But you would think that would have gotten around. When was the first time you heard of Juneteenth?
I think I heard about it in the 60s, but part of it is I think they celebrated for quite a while, sort of like an underground thing. They were afraid to be too boisterous about it. Certainly in the South, if you went around in the 1920s and celebrated Juneteenth, you might end up in a lynching party.
Well, that's for sure. Harvey, when was the first time you ever heard of it?
I'm embarrassed to say I heard that from Kathy from one of her interviews at the Civil Rights Room. And I don't know the context of it, how it was brought up.
Yeah. And so that would have been...
Let's see, when was she there? Like 2003, 2004.
Okay, so if you're embarrassed about that, then I'm ashamed to say that as far as hearing of it and understanding what it was, that might have been within the last 10 years.
Yeah.
For me. I mean, even with all the readings I have done with regard to the Civil War, you know, James McPherson, of course they slipped my mind.
I remember it in connection with the Black Panther Party.
Okay, so you had that connection.
Well, God, you know, the Black Panther Party was pretty big in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah, that's right. So, but it was never part of an education, never part of something.
No, if you go through history books, what's left out is more important than what's in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, right.
Because like Bill Barr says, history will be written by the winners. Yeah. So, okay. So Juneteenth. Now, you know, that was June 19th of 1865.
Yeah.
And that was when the word got to people who were enslaved in Texas, in Galveston, that they were free.
Right. And they've been free for over 2 years.
Yeah. That's 2 years after the proclamation was signed.
That's right. I mean, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed after Antietam in 1862, became effective January 1st.
And, you know, let's admit what the proclamation was, too. It was a lot of the motivation for the proclamation was to get black slaves enlisted into the Union Army.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
$10 a month. It's the price of a gigabyte of data for that iPad you never use. It's 2 overpriced coffees you ordered when you forgot to look at the menu. It's your overzealous attempts to meet the credit card minimum at the bodega on the corner. But $10 a month could be a lot more. Become a BAI buddy and commit to a recurring monthly donation to WBAI. This money will help us continue to broadcast the thoughts and perspectives of the progressive public. A BAI buddy is also not without perks. Your monthly contribution will earn you a WBAI tote bag and a member card offering Zipcar sales, discounted meals at select restaurants, and a handful of other benefits. You will also become a full voting member of WBAI, and our diverse programming will reflect your voice. Go to givetowbai.org and become a BAI buddy to support Free Speech Radio today.
Hey, this is Michael, a BAI buddy from Brooklyn. WBAI, oh, WBAI, you're listening to WBAI, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Listen and learn. and become a BAI buddy today.
Hi, this is Tony Roberts, and you're listening to WBAI in New York, the voice of truth since 1960.
Hey, Wagwan.
Nothing, what's up with you?
I just found out that festival is back.
What?
Yeah, man, the International African Arts Festival is on.
You mean online, like last year?
Well, yes, that too, but it's back in the flesh, outdoors, at Commodore Barry Park.
The full thing with all kinds of vendors and performers and all that food?
Yep, outdoors in Brooklyn with the breeze, the good vibe, festival is back. Friday, July 2nd to Sunday, July 4th, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Commodore Barry Park, Flushing Avenue near the BQE.
Well, I'm going at least 2 days.
You know where I want you to go? To IAAfestival.org. That's IAAfestival.org for all the information.
I will see you there.
Absolutely.
court, the ruling said a black man has no right to the white man has to obey 18. In 57, people said the abolition movement was over. Frederick Douglass, 2 months later, did a speech. He talked about the ugliness of it, and then he said, but let me tell you something, every effort to allow and to stop the abolition movement has only served to embolden and advance the intensification of our action. We don't get turned back because of a setback. We don't get turned back because somebody fights against us, because people only fight you when they're scared you got something to say. People only cheat you when they're scared that they can't beat you in a fair fight. A setback is a setup for us to keep on pushing forward. No one moment mentality. And I got to make my way now to North Carolina to help bury a dear friend. Happened suddenly, but I close here, Liz, since you prepare to come. One of my favorite scriptures that helps sum up what moral movements is in the Psalm 118. The ancient rabbis, any rabbis in here? The ancient rabbis Thomas said, this is the stone that the builders have rejected. But now the stone that the builders have rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And this is the Lord's doing. In other words, God can use the rejected to revive a nation. I wish I had a witness here. And I know that in this room, there are some who've known rejection. You've been rejected because of your sexuality. You've been rejected because of who you love. You've been rejected because of your religion. You've been rejected because of how you were born. You've been rejected because of your class. You've been rejected because of your race. You've been rejected because somebody needed somebody to hate to try to feel good about themselves. There are folk in this room that have known rejection. Rejection because of income. Rejection because of faith. Rejection because of the way you look. Rejection because of the lack of faith. Rejection because somebody thought they had a false mandate to demean your humanity given to you only by the divine spirit. But I want you to know this day that the stones that the builders rejected are now the cornerstones of this new experience and this Mara movement and this poor people's campaign. And I want you to know that when the rejected get together, we can redeem America from hate and discrimination. I want you to know that when hands that once picked cotton join hands of Latinos, join hands of progressive whites, join faith hands and labor hands and Asian hands and Native American hands and poor hands and wealthy hands with a conscience and gay hands and straight hands and trans hands and Christian hands and Jewish hands and Muslim hands and Hindu hands and Buddhist hands, when we all get together, we are an instrument of redemption. When we join hands, we can revive and make sure that the promise of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and equal protection under the law. Is never taken away. From anybody. So I got a question. Are the rejected ready to revive? And declare that this land is your land. This land is my land. This land is our land. And together, from the State House to the White House, the rejected are going to demand that this nation never give up on being one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Of course, that was Reverend William Barber, who is now co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for a moral revival. And of course, his call is for more than one rally and more than one action, and that when the rejected, as he calls us, join, we become a voice for redemption. And that is what is happening. The occupation at our legislative plaza in downtown Nashville which the young people have renamed Ida B. Wells Plaza, is on its 21st day. They've been there 24/7. For almost three weeks. They've suffered arrests, some injuries, some forced movements. They have faced the police in peace. And yes, they have faced rejection. The Tennessee legislature, the Republicans in the Tennessee legislature, in committee, voted 11-5 to keep the bust of Nathan in Bedford Forest. Even while other states moved to remove their monuments to the Confederacy and racism.
You know, it's even uh, the legislature in Mississippi, I guess it was yesterday or Friday, I don't know which day, they finally voted to change their flag.
Yeah, take off the Confederate.
And in this climate, we can't get the damn statue out of the damn Capitol.
Well, you know, and because just consider South Carolina took down John C. Calhoun. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating here. I mean, John C. Calhoun
right.
taken down in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, 10-foot perch.
Yes. And it took a lot of work to get him down.
Yeah. And they went out there at midnight thinking they could get it done before dawn.
Yeah.
Took until almost the afternoon.
And Mississippi eliminates the Confederate flag. And Bubba Watts. From NASCAR gets mm-hmm. the Confederate flag taken down from all the races, and we still have to maintain Nathan Bedford Forrest.
It says a lot about how entrenched the Lost Cause movement is. It's
in Tennessee,
it's forced into kind of an underground thing, and now during Trump. It's come back to, you know, relive another rendition.
Harvey found a new clip with Dr. Cornel West speaking with Brian Williams of NBC.
One of the lowest moments in the history of this nation. I think that Brother Trump is in the process of becoming an American version of George III. With pharaohs and Pontius Pilate's versions of biblical religion. What I mean by that is that there is a disregard for the law we've already seen. There is a sowing of the seed of greed, hatred, and corruption. And you reap the chaos. That's what Brother Martin said. Chaos or community. You know, the great Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel used to say, the very future of this nation depends on how we respond to the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. What he had in mind was, what are you going to do about your poverty? What are you going to do about your racism? Not just against black people, but against indigenous peoples, against Asia. Against Jews, against Muslims. Against Mexicans and Latinos. What are you going to do about your materialism, your addiction, the spectacle, and superficial things of money and commodities? And then what are you going to do about your militarism? Internationally, your military base, your drones, domestically, the militarizing of your police and the ways in which that has a disproportionate impact on the weak and vulnerable who tend to be black people and other peoples of color and poor and working class whites. But disproportionately black. And this moment of reckoning, my dear brother, means we're in a fork in the road. Right now, there's a massive crisis in the legitimacy of any leadership who actually speaking out. Of course, the Republican Party is following its neo fascist gangster who's the leader. The Democratic Party, neoliberal leader, we'll see what Brother Biden has to say, but it's hard to believe that he's going to be able to come through with what is necessary, even though he's so much better than Brother Trump. We must have a spiritual, moral, and democratic awakening. Among all of the citizens who care, recognizing we're going to disagree in the public square, but recognizing that we are losing our democracy. In any time, any society can no longer mobilize the best of its past. It could be Lincoln, it could be Frederick Douglass, it could be Walt Whitman, it could be Toni Morrison, it could be, well, I won't go on and on. But do we have what it takes? It's hard to say. If our system has become so choked by greed and hatred and contempt that it doesn't allow for reform, then the choice is between nonviolent revolution, violent explosions that occur over and over again. And I'm opting for nonviolent. Revolution. By revolution, all I mean is what Martin Luther King meant, which is the fundamental sharing of power, resources, respect.
And now, then, well, we're in a world of hurt. So we've heard from powerful voices pleading with this United States at this time to come clean on its sins and to gain redemption. Have you noticed the references to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, this American dream? Well, I want to share one more clip. You'll know who it is.
I would like to discuss some of the problems that we confront in the world today, and some of the problems that we confront in our own nation, by using as a subject the American dream. And I choose this subject because America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers. The substance of the dream is expressed in these sublime words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It says that each individual has certain inherent rights that are neither derived from or conferred by the state. They are gifts from the hands of the Almighty God. very seldom, if ever, in the history of the world has a socio-political document expressed in such profound, eloquent, and unequivocal language the dignity and the worth of human personality. For the American dream reminds us that every man is the heir of a legacy of worthfulness. But ever since the founding fathers of our nation dreamed this dream, America has been something of a schizophrenic personality. On the one hand, we have proudly professed the noble principles of democracy. On the other hand, we have sadly practiced the very antithesis of those principles. Indeed, slavery and segregation have been strange paradoxes in a nation founded on the principle that all men are created equal. But now, more than ever before, America is challenged to realize its noble dream. The clock of destiny is ticking out, and we must act now before it is too late. It is trite but urgently true that if America is to remain a first-class nation, she can no longer have second-class citizens. So every person of goodwill in this nation is called upon to work passionately and unrelentingly to realize the American dream, and the persons who are working to do this are not dangerous agitators, they are not dangerous rabble-rousers, but they are the persons working to save the soul of America. And if the American dream is to be a reality, we must continue to engage in creative protest in order to break down those barriers which make it impossible for us to realize the American dream. Now we must get rid of two false ideas in order to continue to engage in creative protest. One idea is the myth of time. There are those people who argue that time alone will solve this problem. And so they say you must not push things. You must be patient, you must sit down and wait, and sometimes they decorate it in even larger terms. They say cool off for a while and slow up for a while. Time is the only thing that can solve this problem. What we must come to see is that evolution is true in the biological realm. So Darwin is right at that point. But when a Herbert Spencer seeks to apply it to the whole of society, that is little evidence for it. Human progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and the persistent work of dedicated individuals, and without this hard work, time itself becomes the ally of the insurgent and primitive forces of irrational emotionalism and social stagnation, so that we must somehow get rid of this idea that time alone will solve the problem. We must use time. Another idea is the idea, the myth of what I call educational determinism. It is the idea that only education will solve this problem. I'm sure you've heard this, that you've got to change the hearts of people, and people must be educated to the point that they will change their attitudes. Now, there's some truth in this. But to say this is the only thing is where we develop the myth. It is not either education or legislation, it is both education and legislation. Now, it may be true that you cannot legislate morality. It may be true that morality cannot be legislated, but behavior can be regulated. It may be true that the law cannot make a man love me, but it can keep him from lynching me. And I think that's pretty important also. This is what we seek to do through the law, to control the external effects of bad internal feelings. Religion and education will have to change the attitudes, but legislation, executive orders, judicial decrees will have to control the external effects of bad internal attitudes. And therefore, if we are to realize the American dream, we must continue to work through legislation. So it is necessary for Congress to pass meaningful legislation. It is needed at this present hour. This is what we must do in order to realize the American dream. I believe if we will follow these things, we will be able to bring that day into being. But it will not come until every individual in our nation develops this type of concern. And may I say, as I move toward my conclusion, this is not just a local problem. Both people who live in New York or in California or in Illinois have an obligation to be concerned about this problem. We still confront segregation in its glaring and conspicuous forms in Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Louisiana, and all over the South. We still confront it in its hidden and subtle forms in Illinois, in California, in Pennsylvania, and even in New York. But if democracy is to live, segregation must die. And we need people all over America who are genuine liberals. It is one thing to rise up with righteous indignation when a Negro is lynched in Mississippi or when a bus is burned in Anniston, Alabama. But the person of goodwill will rise up with as much righteous indignation when a Negro cannot live in his neighborhood because he's a Negro, or when a Negro cannot join his professional society or cannot be a member of his fraternity or sorority, or when a Negro cannot get a position in his firm. In other words, there must be a concern on the part of people all over this country. And this is the way we will solve this problem. There are words that we use in every academic discipline, and pretty soon these words become a part of the technical nomenclature of these particular disciplines. Modern psychology has a word that is probably used more than any other word in psychology. It is the word maladjusted. Maladjusted. And certainly we all want to live the well-adjusted life in order to avoid neurotic personalities. But I say to you this evening that there are some things in our social order to which I'm proud to be maladjusted. I call upon men of goodwill all over the nation to be maladjusted until the good society is a reality. I never intend to adjust myself to the evils of segregation and discrimination. I never intend to become adjusted to religious bigotry. I never intend to adjust myself to economic conditions that will take necessities from the many to give luxuries to the few. I never intend to become adjusted to the madness of militarism and the self-defeating effects of physical violence. And I think the hour has come for men all over the nation and all over the world to be maladjusted to all of these things. For it may well be that the salvation of our world lies in the hands of the maladjusted. Maladjusted as Abraham Lincoln, who had the vision to see that this nation could not exist half slave and half free. Maladjusted is Thomas Jefferson, who in the midst of an age amazingly adjusted to slavery, could cry out in words lifted to cosmic proportions, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, as maladjusted as Jesus of Nazareth, who could say, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. And I believe that the world is in desperate need of such maladjustment. And with such maladjustment, we will be able to emerge from the bleak and desolate midnight of man's inhumanity to man into the bright and glittering daybreak of freedom and justice. And as we struggle to realize the American dream, let us realize that we do not struggle alone. Even though there are the difficult days ahead, even though before the victory is won, somebody else will have to get scarred up, somebody else will have to go to jail, maybe some will have to face physical death. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood, called bad names, be dismissed as dangerous rabble-rousers and agitators. But even in the midst of that, the struggle must go on, knowing that the victory can be won, because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice.
So there was Dr. King and his infinite wisdom from 50-plus years ago, revered now but vilified then. That's right. Let me remind you again. He was vilified then. He scared people. He scared the powerful. He scared the establishment, just as Frederick Douglass did 100 years before him, and as Reverend Barbara Cornell West and our friend Justin Jones, who is leading the occupation here in Nashville, are scaring the powerful now, scaring the establishment now. So I want to thank Harvey for coming up with the idea to link Juneteenth and July 4th together, because they are really interconnected as far as us, the totality of Americans. I will never think about one without the other. And I hope you don't either. So this show has once again made us ask ourselves, as we approach July 4th, Independence Day, independence for whom? And again, let's remember the words of Dr. King. None of us are free until all of us are free. So have a great 4th of July. Stay very safe. Maybe watch your fireworks on the TV. And with that, Harvey's grandson, Elijah, had a recommendation to end the show. So here is The Bigger Picture by Lil Baby. Bye now.
Trade my 4x4 for GC3, ain't no more freeless deep. I gave him chance and chance and chance again, I even told him please. I find it crazy the police to shoot you and know that you dead but still tell you to freeze. Fucked up, I seen what I seen. I guess that mean hold him down if he say he can't breathe. It's too many mothers just grieving, they killing us for no reason. Been going on for too long to get even. Throw us in cages like dogs and hyenas. I went to court and they sent me to prison. My mama was crushed when they said I can't leave. First I was drunk, then I sobered up quick when I heard all that time that they gave to Talib. He got a life sentence plus. We just some products of our environment, how the fuck they gon' blame us? You can't fight fire with fire, I know, but at least we can turn off the flames some. Every color person ain't dumb, and all whites not racist. I be judging by the mind and heart, I ain't really in the face. Fucked up the way that we living is not getting better, you gotta know how to survive. Crazy, I had to tell all of my loved ones to carry a gun when they going outside. Stay in the mirror whenever you drive, overprotective, go crazy for mine. You gotta pay attention to the sign, seem like the blind following the blind. Thinking about everything that's going on, I boost security up in my home. I'm with my kind, if they right or they wrong. I call him now, he'll pick up the phone. And it's 5 in the morning, he waking up on it. Tell him wherever I'm at, then they coming. I see blue lights, I get scared and start running. That shit be crazy, they supposed to protect us. Swords and handcuffs and arrest us. Why they go home at night, that shit messed up. Knowing we needed help, they neglect us. One of them who gon' make them respect us. I can see in your eye that you fed up. Fuck around, got my shot, I won't let up. They know that we a problem together. They know that we can storm anywhere. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere, might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year, I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. Fuck it, I'm going on the front line, he gon' bust your ass if you come past that gun line. You know when the storm go away, then the the sunshine. Got to put your head in the game when it's crunch time. I want all my sons to grow up to be monsters. I want all my daughters to show out in public. Seem like we losing our country, but we gotta stand up for something. So this what it comes to. Every video I see on my conscience, I got power now. I gotta say something. Corrupt the police been the problem where I'm from, but I'd be lying if I said it was all of them. I ain't do this for the trend. I don't follow them. Altercations with the law had a lot of them. People speaking for the people. I'm proud of them. Stick together, we can get it up out of them. I can't lie like I don't rap about killing and dope, but I'm telling my youngins to vote. I deal what I did, cause I didn't have no choice and no hope. I was forced to just jump in and go. This bullshit is all that we know, but it's time for a change. Got time to be serious, no time for no games. Ain't taking no more, let us go for them chains. God bless they soul, every one of them names. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight, but we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead and start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. They training officers to kill us, then shooting protesters with these rubber bullets. They regular people, I know that they feel us. These scars too deep to heal us. What happened to COVID? Nobody remember, it ain't making sense. I'm just here to vent. It happened to one of your people, it's different. We get it, the system is wicked, just learn how to pick it. Knowledge is power, I swear I'm a witness. I know that I'm gifted, I won't go too deep, cause I'm scared they'll get me. Ain't scared to admit it, some shit I can't mention. It's people who can, well here's the chance. I won't take the stand, but I'll take a stand for what I believe. Must not be breathing the air that I breathe. You know that the way that I bleed, you can breathe. I never been a fan of police, but my neighborhood know I try to keep peace, so it's only right that I get in the streets. March for a reason, I just don't GP. How people die for us to be free. Fuck do you mean? This was a dream. Now we got the power that we need to have. They don't want us with it, and that's why they mad. Yeah. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight, but we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead and start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight, but we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead and start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear.
Hi, this is Hannah from WBAI's premiums department. As you may know, WBAI now has a new phone number to call to make donations or to pledge for premiums at 212-209-2950. Thank you for being a WBAI member and for making a contribution to keep the station afloat. But if you have a question about a premium, please do not call that number. All the call center can do is take down the info and send it to premiums@wbai.org, and time on the line costs us money. Instead, please email us directly with your question or concern. The email is premiums@wbai.org or call 212-209-2870. We promise to get back to you within a week's time. Again, please call 212-209-2870 if you have a question about a premium you ordered, or email premiums@wbai.org.
You're listening to WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM. My name is Bill Samuels, founder of NYPeople'sConvention.org. WBAI is New York's leader in progressive talk. Whether the issue is prison reform, education reform, the legalization of marijuana, or women's rights, the people's issues are covered on these airways. So stay tuned for the best and leading-edge progressive ideas and analysis. And remember to support independent media financially.
brothers and sisters. Well, yeah, if you're jammed up at the airport or jammed up at the train station or jammed at the bus station, you sound like what I sounded like a few minutes ago, right? Can't get to wherever it is that you're trying to go, even if it's a place like Buffalo, New York, 45 minutes away. Can almost drive there fast and takes the plane, and you know the rest of that story. It is the 4th of July weekend, and as many of you know, whatever particular mode of transportation you are moving in, you are going to be backed up. Whether it is bus, train, plane, okay, automobiles, whatever, you are in a situation. And obviously, the roads are going to not only be jammed in terms of people who are taking advantage of weather, taking advantage of, if you will, for some, being without mask, as you may be aware. Not that it's a wise thing to do. And obviously, some taking advantage of the moment that they feel freedom has finally arrived. And maybe that ties in with Independence Day. I'm not sure exactly. But it's our pleasure to be with you tonight. It's Summertime Gary Bird, the Radio Grill, telling our story, lifting every voice at 99.5 FM, WBAI, and greeting you in the tri-state, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and right through the five boroughs in Manhattan, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens, Long Island, Staten Island, and New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, all across the USA, to our brothers and sisters, of course, in the Caribbean, Central America, and obviously across the water in the motherland, and some of our friends who are there in France, England, and some of the other places that we have had a chance to move through over the course of the years. If you're wondering, and we did the mind flight theme because that's, I knew that's the only way we'd say, well, is that a Motepa? Is he early? Yes, we are. And we're early really for a variety of reasons, but primarily a reason having to do with the fact that there is some very serious business that has to be taken care of that has to do with the vote. Now, that business is happening, as many of you know, across the country, where we are seeing some of the issues of the challenges that are being placed in front of people of color, especially across the country, on the issue of voting and the attempts to stop them from voting. But tonight, the issue is flipped around to another context, and that is the fact that you and your vote here at WBAI at Pacifica is what is on the table tonight and over the course of the next several days. We'll get into that this evening inside of our early schedule tonight in the broadcast, and also have a chance to talk to you about a few things that ultimately are very, very critical in relationship to the future of the radio station and ultimately the future of many of the programs that you listen to and love on WBAI, and perhaps just the directions that are going to be occurring in the days ahead. So New York City, New Jersey, Connecticut, across the USA, to the West Coast, Los Angeles, Oakland, Houston, Atlanta, Memphis, up in my territory, the Great Lakes, Buffalo, New York, Cleveland, Detroit, yeah, the Windy City, Chicago, St. Louis, to our brothers and sisters in the Caribbean, watch those hurricanes, I know that goes, South America, Brazil, and of course, to the brothers and sisters in Nairobi, Kenya, Accra, West Africa, wherever you are, Cape Town, South Africa as well. We welcome you tonight to our GBE Mind Flight special edition on 99.5 FM WBAI Independence Day weekend. We are greeting you this evening with greetings of Kwaba and welcoming you to our broadcast this evening. Lots of things are going on as we move through this holiday weekend. Obviously, the principal date that's in the minds of many brothers and sisters is the July 4th. Day of quote-unquote independence. That is, you know, pretty much what all of the barbecue and all that, you know, whatnot is going down with, and all the traveling and so forth. But the fact of the matter is that as we have been reminded, you know, with the activities that took place with the centennial of Black Wall Street and the recognition of what that particular event makes in terms of history and the dynamics of the time period out of which it comes, and then the issues that we saw that are being raised by New York State Assemblyman Charles Barron and the reparations bill coming out of the assembly here in New York State, and the recognition that coming up, as much attention as the independence of the country gets in relationship to Independence Day. The fact of the matter is, there is a unique aspect to independence where New York is concerned that doesn't always get acknowledged, and that is the fact that slavery was abolished in New York on July 4th, 1827. Yeah, July 4th, Independence Day. But at the same time, obviously in the context of New York, New York State, Frederick Douglass's speech, you know, what to me does your 4th of July mean, which will play later this weekend on our regular GBE Mind Flight show. All of this comes to mind, and especially in a time period of quote-unquote truth and reconciliation that we seem to be in right now. With more on reparations, we are sure, coming down the pike. Well, as we join you tonight inside of the broadcast, obviously the Democratic primary for mayor of New York City thrown into a state of confusion on Tuesday when election officials abruptly retracted their latest report on the vote count after realizing it had been corrupted by test data never cleared from a computer system. You don't believe that, right? I mean, you, Herb Boyd will be joining me at our regular time tonight inside of the broadcast at 7:30. We're on What's Going On segment. And I have over the years communicated in terms of this dynamic that many of us grew up in with, you know, certainly as far as like up south, down south, you know, and, you know, Nina Simone, Mississippi Goddamn, you know, that whole mentality of what was happening down south, you know. Driving while black was all out there down south. But fact matter is there's always been an up south component to all of this. And I think that Lloyd Williams, president of the Greater Harlem Chamber of Commerce, on one of my other broadcasts, down the dial, made a very, very important point in the recognition that the same kind of voter suppression that we actually are watching in different parts of the country and that has become such a major issue in relationship to the question of hypocrisy or democracy is something that we are looking at right here in our face. And the questions and issues that are emerging concerning the New York City Board of Elections have yet to be fully answered. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams wound up losing, as some of you know, much of his lead. And the Board of Elections later said 135,000 test ballots had been inadvertently included in the count. Reggie, wasn't it funny that even with that count, he still didn't have a lead of significance, you know, to what we were under the impression in terms of the way data was coming in. Fact of the matter is that, you know, we see and we think about voter suppression, Georgia, we think about it, Texas, we think about it, all these different places. Okay, as they say, what did Michael Jackson say? I'm looking at the man in the mirror, right? Okay, we're looking at the state in the mirror in this particular case, and it's New York City and New York State. Well, this evening in our broadcast, as we join you, there is also further news on the election front. Alvin Bragg, who, as some of you may know,